right. It's another Monday night, and you are in the zone here on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL. Dave and Glass with you again on another Monday night, and we are, as always, taking your phone calls at 812-333-2665. Lots to talk about tonight. The Colts have a new head coach. His name is Frank Reich. He did sign on the dotted line. That was the most important aspect of this weekend after the whole debacle with Josh McDaniels went down over a 2 or 3 week period. But no, we do have a head coach now for the Colts for the next season, a 5-year contract. So we'll talk a little bit about Frank Reich in a little while and how the Colts got to that point. The Indiana Pacers comes out. Turns out the team really likes each other, playing real well. And Victor Oladipo is an all-star, and the team did not want to be broken up at the trade deadline. Told Kevin Pritchard it so, apparently, and so Kevin Pritchard, who is a wheeler and dealer by heart, he standed pat at the trade deadline for the Pacers. They're going to see what they can get done leading into the postseason. Currently, I think, in the sixth slot, projected at this point in the East, and we'll see what they can do. But we start with IU basketball, as usual, Archie Miller and crew on a 2-game win streak after losing 4 straight and 5 of 6 in their toughest portion of their schedule. They did end that tough portion of their schedule with their third 2-day or 1-day turnaround, really, by going to Rutgers, but played very, very well at Rutgers and came away with a 22-point win, holding Rutgers to 43 points then over the weekend. Minnesota came to town on Friday night, and the Hoosiers once again did a number on the opposition, this time at home, 80-56 after having a couple days off. And I don't know if it's the rest or what it is, considering they did make the trip out to Piscataway in a day and won by over 20 points. But they're playing certainly much better here of late. They played Michigan State tough at home. They played Purdue tough at home. They beat Maryland at home. They played well at Illinois for much of that game. Really, the Ohio State game stands out from the standpoint of not maybe their best effort or at least their best result, certainly. But playing more consistently. And for the last couple years, that's been, you know, a word that's been thrown about what this team wasn't doing, no matter what the personnel was. They weren't consistent. You didn't know what you were getting from night to night. You know, is every possession you weren't consistent, whether it was offense or defense or whatever it is. You never knew entirely what was going to happen. Some talented teams, they won some games, but they never had that consistency. Is it fair to say now, Glass, that this team has something that Hoosier fans can hook on to, and it's the consistency, whether it's rebounding or defense or not turning the ball over, or at least something that they like? You know, they like winning, but they seem to like the consistency of solid play and bringing it all the time, and it seems like at the very least we're getting that now.
I think it's a couple things, and a team that plays hard is good, and I think you need that's a foundation you have to be built upon. If you're questioning whether how hard you're playing in February as opposed to November, you got issues if that's what's going on with why aren't we ready to go? Why aren't we better? What I think I see from this team, which is impressive, and I think I can only speak for the fan in me, is they're getting better. They are taking concepts that they are being taught and applying them on a nightly basis and showing improvement in said areas.
Yeah.
It sounds such a remedial concept, but it's a very effective one. If we're getting off to bad starts, let's try to get off to good starts, and then you get off to good starts. Well, okay, well, you're doing something different than you were before and not doing the same thing over and over again. That's been interesting for me. You don't want a team playing their best basketball on January 5th. You probably want them playing their best basketball on March 5th, but surely you want them better on February 5th than where they were on January 5th. And the point is, this team has improved. You can tell by the starting lineup the last 2 games. If this team wasn't improving or players weren't improving, you wouldn't see any changes in it. There are guys that have passed some guys right now in the rotation because they are doing things that the coaching staffs determine as productive and help in doing things like win basketball games, and they're just not playing because they're playing because they were told they were going to play. And I think that's the interesting point of it. It's not static. Life isn't static. Nothing we do is static. It's always changing. You're either getting better, you're getting worse, you're improving, you're slowing down, you're getting faster, whatever it is, and nothing is permanent. Devontae Green, after the Purdue game, when he played 4 minutes, were you going to tell me the next 4 games he was going to do this? No, you probably weren't.
No.
I don't think anybody was, but what happens is kids figure it out. Coaching staffs reach kids. They figure out how to push buttons. They try to get players into spots and positions where they are going to do the best things for the team and themselves. And you've seen that. Freddie McSwain couldn't play 5 minutes at a time a year ago at this point in the game because he didn't understand the game of basketball. He couldn't handle the speed of the Big Ten. And now he's starting.
Yeah.
Why is he starting? Well, because he's producing and performing.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's found the light. They have found the way to find him the light. They've taken the light they've all found together, and they've turned it on, and it's working. They have found a role. They've developed situation. Why does Josh McRoberts play every night? Because he's figured it out. That's the cool thing, I think, about this team. You're looking at a starting lineup of three guys that no one in their wildest dreams on November 12th would have said, hey, when we go to Rutgers on the fifth day of February, Josh McRoberts, Freddie McSwain, and Devontae Green are going to be in the start. That's going to be 60% of your starting lineup. You would have been laughed at out of the building. And why? Well, because at that time, those were three guys who, frankly, weren't performing.
Yeah.
And what Archie Miller has shown throughout the year is the guys that are playing well are the guys that are going to get the most chances. Does that guarantee him minutes? No. He tells you after every game, the only thing that guarantees you minutes is your performance. You will get an opportunity. But if there's somebody playing better than you and doing things to help the team, and you go on the road and you win by 20-something, and then you come on the road and win and come home and win by 20-something, well, that's a pretty good sign that somebody's understanding what's going on here. I had somebody ask me the other day, man, it was too bad Indiana lost to Wisconsin and couldn't win at Illinois because they would be. And I said, wait a second. I said, just stop.
A long time ago on the first one.
But even the point was, hey, you know, they're in a game that could have won it. You know, Wisconsin hasn't turned out to be the Wisconsin everybody thought they would be. Mm-hmm. Oh, geez, Illinois is 2-11. Penn State beats them by 24 at home the other night.
Yeah.
Well, maybe you don't get to this point if you don't go to those points. The Wisconsin game was a game that everyone talked about effort and not playing hard and not giving anybody anything to believe in when they go on the road. Mm-hmm. The second half in the Wisconsin game was a struggle. First half was really good.
Yeah, it was.
But the night and day of it, that's what got people scratching their head saying, geez, which team is it? You give me this or you give me that, nothing in the middle. And the Illinois game, Indiana led for the first 20 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Again, played well, didn't close it out at the end. Illinois was on the verge at that time of trying to get that breakthrough win and doing all that. Okay, fine. But you grow. And that's the point in all this. Is this team growing or is it regressing? And I think that's a simple question to answer.
Yeah.
And I think that's something. And I think that's what fans can grasp onto. Fans can say, okay, what this guy has been saying since the blowout loss to Indiana State hasn't really changed much. And now you're seeing the results from it.
Well, that's why I use the word consistency.
I don't know if that's the right word is my point. But they have been growing.
But stretch it over 40 minutes. And I think that's the thing. As you mentioned, the Wisconsin game, and it's a good comparison because for 20, 25 minutes, they played really well.
Yeah, and they weren't bad.
In a place that they're used to getting beat in. I mean, we're used to seeing losses up there at the Kohl Center. Down the stretch, they fell apart a bit. But
which we had seen before.
Which we had seen many times before, unfortunately. But what you're seeing now, to me, is 40 minutes most nights, if not every night, including against Purdue and against Michigan State. And those were home games, but that's what you saw out of them. You saw it against Maryland. Ohio State, you had about 5 minutes in there where the doors fell off and you never were able to recover
from it. First half was not very good at Ohio State.
No, but it all happened in a five-minute period. And then they, held it into a certain area that they could never get past. They could never get past that 15-point mark. But to me, it's every night. It's more often every possession, even both sides of the ball. Because, in the past, you used to have great nights offensively, and you couldn't stop anybody all night long. You'd seldom have great nights defensively. But that's what I've enjoyed, is that now I have a better idea what I'm going to get most of the time. Now, you might get a crazy shot here, a crazy shot there. That's going to happen. But most nights, most possessions, almost all 40 minutes, you're going to get solid play on both ends of the floor and a team that's stopped kind of beating itself with bad, dumb plays. And that's what we saw too much out of the last couple of years. And I think you're exactly right. The coach has said all year long, here's what we need to get to. Here's what needs to happen. He has shown
this.
Yeah,
there was no mystery to this.
No, he has shown this with who he's playing and when he plays him and how much he plays him. And people earn time if they earn the time, and they earn the bench if they earn the bench. And outside of two guys, and Juwan Morgan is, he's one of the two.
Juwan Morgan's it. There's not two guys.
He's never been bad, so so there's no point in even discussing him.
Juwan's in his own category.
But Robert Johnson is the only guy otherwise that has gotten consistent, significant minutes that at times doesn't produce. And there's a reason for that. Somehow he is a leader for this team. But other than that, everybody else has seen some pine time, if not significant time down there, including Devontae Green, as you mentioned.
I think that's what's special about Juwan Morgan, because he's not in that category.
No, he's in
his own category this year. And that's what happens when you're a 7-7 team. There's going to be good things. There's going to be bad things. The good things against Purdue was you played hard for a lot of the game. The bad thing was the last 3 minutes you couldn't score on your home floor because things didn't work out for you right, because some of those guys we just mentioned didn't make very good decisions down the final stretch of the game. Also, the Michigan State game, same thing. There you are in a dogfight at the end with Michigan State, and you're fighting and you're fighting and you're fighting, and you just can't make those plays to get over the hump or remember that Mac McQuaid's the only guy who can shoot threes out there and he knocks down a three-pointer.
Mm-hmm.
Again, I get it. And I don't think it's been a question of effort. Archie even said that when they were getting beat by Indiana State and by Fort Wayne. You know, it's not like they're just not running up and down the court.
Right.
It's not like they're trying. They just don't get it yet. They haven't figured out how we want it done and how we want it. Now, you don't hear a whole lot of people talking about pack line defense anymore when you give up only 43 points at Rutgers and win by 22.
Mm-hmm.
You don't hear too much complaining about pack line defense when you give up 56 at home to Minnesota and win by 24.
That's 99 points given up in two games.
And keep it less than 100 over two games. The 43 points against Rutgers, season low in a Big Ten game since the 1996-1997 season. It happened once against Iowa. Northwestern, they only gave up 46 points? 45 points?
46.
Those are two performances on a team that somebody in Indianapolis told us had a bunch of guys that couldn't guard chairs last year.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of those guys are back. So to see the progress is what's encouraging. To see Indiana not have to play perfect basketball and get results is also encouraging, because this team flat out does not shoot very well from the three-point line. They have nights where they don't make anything from the free throw line, let alone the three-point line, and they're winning games by 20 points. I mean, that is a testament to everything else that maybe the scorebook doesn't tell you. You could call it the Zach McRoberts Chronicles, because when this team gets after it, when they go out and out-rebound Michigan State by how many? 15, 16 on their home court?
Yeah, crushed them.
Well, Indiana had like 19 offensive rebounds, and Michigan State had like 23
rebounds. I think it was a 24 rebound
like
edge.
That.
I believe that was right.
And you lost the game.
Mm-hmm.
So you still have work to do in this. I get it. But Indiana is not doing the things that they perhaps weren't doing well at the beginning of the year. You're not going to fix shooting. Archie Miller's, he said that for the last 2 weeks. He's thrown his hands up and he said, "We are what we are. And we better make hustle plays, and we better get on the glass, and our guards better rebound." And all these things he said, if you just check the boxes off, you win by 23 or 20, whatever, at Rutgers, you win by 24 at home, because Indiana's doing stuff that gets after it. And it's not always shooting the basketball and making three-point shots. That was almost the defining statistic of this program the last 3 or 4 years, was how many three-pointers you made and what your three-point field goal percentage was. And people will point out, hey, there's two banners hanging over there that says Big Ten champions. You're exactly right. There are absolutely two banners over there that say Big Ten champions. The point is, there are other ways to win when you cannot make three-point shots. Has this team cracked that barrier yet? No, I think they've beaten some teams they should beat.
14-12.
I don't think. I think winning on the road in the Big Ten, it should not be scoffed at. Winning at Rutgers by 20 something is a pretty good day at the track.
2-5 in that tough stretch because of timing and games.
They're 2-5 in that stretch because they're not in the upper echelon of the league.
That's exactly the point I think that I take out of there.
But Minnesota came into town with a bunch of guys suspended and hurt.
I expected the Rutgers game to be much tougher.
How many 5-7 teams do you see in the league play go out and beat two teams back-to-back nights by 20, one on the road and one at home?
No, exactly.
That's something. And they deserve all the plaudits they get for that, and I'm not telling you any different on that. But what Indiana did against Minnesota on Friday night is exactly what they should have done. They played an undermanned team at home on their home court on a Friday night, and it was woe is me, Minnesota. They lost six straight coming into them, and they went out, and they kept them at arm's length, got off to, a 12-4 start and continued?
Yep.
Came out of the second half, the break at halftime, take a 10-point lead, run it right up to 20. Boom, game is over, done with. Those are things that are more important to me than your field goal defense and your Ken Palm ranking there, because this is a team that is learning to play and play the correct way. We've seen teams come out of halftime with a 10-point lead. The other team gets the first two or three baskets.
Right, give it right
now
back
you're up to just a 4-point lead. Well, what'd they do against Iowa? Well, mm-hmm. then they came back and won by, got up by 20 and took care of that. We've seen flashes of all of this. It's not the finished product. It's not the finished article. That's the good news for it. And if it keeps improving, Dave, well, Illinois at home on Wednesday, at Iowa on Saturday, at Nebraska on Tuesday, home to Ohio State to wrap it up a week from Friday. Like you mentioned, there's not a lot of games where you say, well, geez, this team's not going to compete.
They're 14-12.
Win four in a row, it's 16-12.
Win 14 in a row, and you're 18-12, because I do math for a living.
14-12 and four is 18-12. And then you win maybe a game or two in the Big Ten tournament, which you can't write down. You never know how this is going to be.
We don't want to get too far ahead of ourselves. It's probably not an NCAA tournament team, but it does have chances, as you mentioned, down the stretch here against teams that they can beat. The Nebraska game is a very tough road trip. Any road trip is tough, but Nebraska in particular is playing really well and tough. And Ohio State at home, of course, is going to be difficult, but you can win all of those games. I mean, there's no reason you can't.
Ohio State's going to have a little pressure on their shoulders when walk in here a week from Friday. Wondering where
and all of a sudden Nebraska is a favorite at home every game they play.
It's great, and you know why? They've earned it, because it's a meritocracy. Nebraska's 10-4 in the league. They should be talked about like that. And teams take advantage of scheduling, teams take advantage of playing, teams take advantage of transfers, whatever it is. Nebraska's had a nice season. They haven't played anybody. That's not their fault. They didn't make their schedule in the Big Ten.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah.
You go out and you play it. Indiana didn't play a whole lot of people, and they won a Big Ten championship the other year.
I mean,
Ohio State
hasn't had a difficult Big Ten schedule.
You go out and play who's on your schedule. Kids don't worry about that stuff. Go out and play. But I think the encouraging thing for Indiana basketball fans is it is clearly better than what it was at Thanksgiving, and it is clearly better than what it was at the New Year. And I think that's all you ask. Is this roster still flawed? Well, you had still flaws.
Yeah, I mean, it still can't shoot.
Are they playing better with the flaws? Yeah. Yes, they are. Yeah. Because they're finding pieces to the puzzle. That guys that weren't the pieces of Devontae Green and Freddie McSwain weren't even used in the puzzle at some point back in December.
I you know, here's I guess a sign for me as an IU fan is when I think of a trip to Rutgers and a trip to Iowa this year, I think of two teams that won't be easy to beat, but that you can beat because you got at least as much talent, if not more. And even if they're tough teams on the road, the way I've seen this team playing of late, I don't expect them to go out and get nuked on any given night. Now, Nebraska, the way they're playing, I mean, I don't know about that. But Rutgers and Iowa are two of the lower teams in the league. And so to me, when I think of the last couple years, I wasn't sure what I was going to get on a road trip. When we went up to Minnesota earlier this year, I was afraid of that road trip, as you should be to a large degree. But, I feel like I'm going to get even play. I feel like I'm going to get it most, if not every night, most every night. And that is different than it has been in the past.
Yeah.
There's been some good seasons and there's been some bad seasons. But even across the board, we can remember back to Maui and how bad they played in that, in that stretch. That was a really talented team.
You can talk about playing better all you want. Go play better. And I think that was the key in the Rutgers game. 16 first half points is all you gave up.
Yeah.
Scored 26. If you're not going to score any, 26 is not a lot in a Big Ten game.
Right.
26 plus 26 is 52. I do know that.
Right.
And that's barely a point a minute, 40-minute game, right?
That's fantastic.
But that's it. So if you tell me Indiana's going to score 26 points on the road at Rutgers.
And lead by 10?
Not even lead. You just tell me they're going to score 26 points in the first half. Well, I'm not going to be very optimistic about it. But you find guys, you throw Devontae Green in the starting lineup, and what's he do? Well, he gives you 30 more minutes and just two turnovers and four assists.
Yeah.
So you want to go back and piece together what he's done over the last four or five games. The Ohio State game was the big one. He had a quiet one with Purdue. He had a decent one against Illinois before that. And you just start putting these games together. He played against Michigan State a really solid game.
He's played 30 minutes each of the last four nights.
And he turns the ball over no more than two times. The turnover he had against Minnesota for his third was with 11 seconds left in the game.
Yeah.
And Indiana's up 28 points. I'm giving him a break on that one.
Look, he's going to take some chances.
But that's fine.
But
they want him to.
He had had eight assists and no turnovers in the first two games of that stretch.
He had two games where he played 51 minutes, had 11 assists and no turnovers.
61 minutes,
That's progress. He played 31 in 30, right?
Yep.
61. All right, shorter.
See, I told you I'm the math guy.
That's why. Yeah, exactly. That's why we get along. But the point is, he played those. That's just That's not an accolade someone pinned to his shirt and said, "You played well."
And that's different.
Don't listen to anybody else, but you played well.
And
tonight.
That's different for him, which is why he's earning the 30 minutes. But that's the whole point is, a guy learning what he finally getting through what he's been told. He's still going to try some stuff.
He has to.
He is, because that's part of his game. It goes back to that confidence thing. Josh Newkirk has none of it right now. Devontae Green right now has all of it.
I think Josh Newkirk has a ton of confidence right now because he's not being required to do anything that Devontae Green's doing.
Well, I see it the other night, but
he had. I think he played well. What, 12 or 14 minutes against Minnesota?
Well, I mean, he didn't stand out. I mean, glaring wise.
But again, when you don't have to depend on him for scoring,
right.
When you don't have to depend on him to make six assists to one turnover.
I think he would have rather not be taken out of the starting lineup.
He had a steal for a dunk.
Yeah.
He had a nice jumper. He had, you know, he looked like he was playing a little bit more confident, like it didn't rest on his shoulders, which I find is interesting. And Freddie McSwain, he never scored double figures until this year. And now he had 16 rebounds against Michigan State.
Yeah.
And that's against 6'11" Jaren Jackson. That's against 6'7" Miles Bridges.
Yeah.
That's 6'9" Nick Ward. 6'8" Kenny Goins. 6'8" Gavin Schilling. Yeah. Who am I missing?
They're a big team.
Langford 6'5", the guard.
One of the best rebounding teams in the nation.
Same size as McSwain.
Just nuked him. And it was,
why is Freddie McSwain playing? Because he's not getting in foul trouble. He's not taking bad shots. He's not dribbling the basketball when he shouldn't. He's a senior. He's finally figured it out. These are encouraging things for Indiana University. You know who's not giving him anything because he's been hurt the whole time? Colin Hartman.
Yeah.
Well, that stinks because that's another piece you thought, hey, here's a piece we'd have.
Yep.
But now you can't wait for Colin to get healthy. I never saw the update from Friday. Had a thumb issue, wrist issue, something came out with Fell.
Yeah.
I haven't heard an update on that. You just feel terrible for him because every week it's a new piece.
Always something, yeah.
And, but again, he's around the team. He can help out, and you can see what's going on. But you have had guys who've been given opportunities at not against East Cleveland State.
Not anymore.
Not against Tennessee Tech or whoever that was.
Mm-hmm.
These are Big Ten opponents, and guys are taking advantage of it. And that's what makes it makes you, as a fan, feel good. As a fan down the road, make you feel better because you say, well, geez, can you imagine if a kid's got a couple years under the belt with RG and if this is getting through? This is how it should work. So it's very, very interesting to see them moving forward. But to have two 20-point performances, 20-point victories, again, this was a team that was 5-7. I don't know how many times you go out and take a look at that. So what are you going to do? Well, you're going to play four more games, and then you're going to get tickets to the Big Ten tournament there in Madison Square Garden. So there's plenty of basketball still to go.
And we're leading up to a Wednesday night game at home against Illinois. I'd like to get some revenge for the trip to Champaign earlier this year. And then a pair on the road at Iowa, at Nebraska, and you come home to Ohio State. Nothing's easy in the Big Ten, but you can win all four of those games. You can win three of those games. And, this team needs to win a couple to make sure it gets into any postseason other than the Big Ten tournament. But it has the looks, I think, of what most Indiana fans wanted to see at this stage, and that is growth.
That's exactly right.
Got to take a
quick... And growing at the hard places, too. It's easy to grow getting a lot of guys to score and shoot the basketball.
Just take shots.
That's kind of the fool's gold part of it. But
it's taking better care of the ball. It is, it's taking better shots. It is certainly defended far better, and it's starting to show the growth all over. So we got to take a quick break. 812-333-2665 is our phone number. Don't go anywhere. You've been in the zone. All right, you're back in the zone with Dave and Glass on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL. A couple quick programming notes for you. We're out of here a little early tonight. We've got college basketball coming up at 7 o'clock, so 6:45 is going to be the pregame when we take off and turn it over to Notre Dame and UNC tonight. That's at Chapel Hill. So again, tip-off 7 o'clock, but pregame 6:45, so that's when we will be leaving. And then we'll be back Wednesday. Terry and I actually will be on the air Wednesday for In the Zone, 6 o'clock on Wednesday night. And Friday, we return to high school basketball with Columbus North coming to town to face the North Cougars, fresh off a big road win for the Cougs at Terre Haute North. 7:30 tip-off on Friday night. 812-333-2665 is our phone number. Before we move to the Colts, though, real quickly, let's look to Wednesday night because, you and I just looked forward and started projecting for this Hoosier basketball team. And that might be a little unsafe still at this point. But, you know, we don't say it flippantly. You got Illinois coming to town, and Illinois has its own kind of issues. Now, it plays hard, and it gets up in you, and it causes you problems, but they just, you know, they just got their they get their butt kicked last night.
76-52 on their home court by Penn State.
Penn State's playing well.
Yeah.
Penn State is not the most talented team in the league. Oh. They went in there and won by 25 points or whatever it was.
Yeah, only gave up 52 points. So
they're coming to town not feeling great about themselves. The Hoosiers want a revenge.
And if Illinois is going to do anything, it's going to be on their home floor because there's a little safety net of the home crowd and everything else that goes with it.
They're 2-11. Iowa on the road is 3-11.
I mentioned that Indiana gave you a grown-up performance on Friday night beating a Minnesota team they should beat. You should expect the same performance against Illinois on Wednesday night. Why?
What about Iowa then, too?
Why? On the road's a little bit different. Number one, in Iowa City, 2 o'clock on Saturday afternoon, there's going to be 3,000 people there.
Yeah.
That's it.
Nice and quiet.
It's hard to see on TV because dark light the whole thing. But there's going to be nobody there. Nobody. Yeah. And there'll be enough Indiana fans there, there'll be noise when Indiana scores a basketball. Indiana takes the same attitude they take with them on the Rutgers game. Yeah. They're great. Indiana takes we've had a nice little three-game stretch here where we've beaten Rutgers, Minnesota, and Illinois. We're just going to show up, and we're gonna just do the things that we're not a grown-up big boy team does. Illinois will beat you, or Iowa's going to beat you on their home court.
Be careful with that one.
It, exactly right. And the chip on the shoulder for Indiana was, hey, look, we've got back-to-backed again, and we're back-to-backed Saturday, Monday on the road. And the back end is the road again. So you always had that, hey, they're trying to stick it to us. Let's get together and get after it.
I loved Archie's comment after the Rutgers game. Immediately after. Because just a week before, the entire Indiana basketball media groups were writing stories about how it was too quick a turnaround and they looked exhausted. And he said, you know what? We're not going to give any excuses. Nope, there are no excuses. Nobody cares about excuses. You've got to show up every night anyways. And that's the attitude we took into this Rutgers game. And yeah, Rutgers is certainly much better than Ohio State.
But if you want to go
much
back,
worse than Ohio State. But
if you want to go back and look at the schedule, when Indiana's had in that terrible streak, quote unquote, when they had the most time to prepare, they usually played their best.
Yeah.
So you saw.
I would expect most teams.
You saw a really good start against Minnesota, 39 first half points, and then again the defensive side of things, 21 assists or 24 assists or whatever it was on the night, over 20 assists for only the second time this year. So they had 3 days to prepare for that, and they played well. They had days to prepare for Michigan State and played well. When they came into town, they had a few more than two. So it seems like when they have preparation time, they're okay on that. They're going to have a couple days to get ready for Iowa, which isn't terrible, the Thursday, Friday, and then 2 o'clock on Saturday. You know, that's kind of been the standard turnaround.
Yeah.
So that's okay. I don't think there's a huge deal with that. But what Indiana has to learn is you can't show up like you did at Ohio State and you'd like to show up the way you did at Rutgers. So please, it's easy to find the answer in that because on the road in the Big Ten, guess what Iowa's doing? Guess who they're circling on the schedule? Say, we need to win, folks.
That's exactly right.
And Indiana's been up and down, and you don't know what team you're going to get. And they've started slowly at Ohio State. They started slowly here and there. Just find what has worked, and that's the consistency that I'm looking for. This has been fine to this point. I'm 100% for it. We just talked about all that. The next step is doing it more than once. Don't pat yourself on the back because you beat Rutgers on a quick turnaround by 20-something if you don't bring it to Iowa.
No, you got to do the same thing.
So that's the big step.
Wednesday night.
And if Iowa shoots 64% and hits a season-high 16 three-pointers and beats you, okay.
If it's something crazy.
Just make sure it's not 24-4 at the first time out.
You were right earlier. I mean, the first thing to do, and this is just the way the schedule lays, but you know, it's taking care of Illinois and not giving them hope and just taking them out of it because that's what you've done the last two games with Rutgers and Minnesota. Jumped all over them.
Share the ball.
And never let them have the
get
hope.
Easy shots.
So come out with that sense of urgency right off the bat and play the way you've been playing, which, again, the defense has been fantastic. Taking care of the ball hasn't been this good in several years. And then worry about the road trip. Next week, we get to find out whether some of this is the teams you're playing versus how you're playing. But I don't think there's any question the last couple games, the last several games really, outside of that Ohio State game, really has been some of the best play you've seen out of this group of players so far this year. Moving over then, again, we're going to take off here in about 4 or 5 minutes and turn it over to pregame for college basketball. Notre Dame is at North Carolina tonight. That'll tip off just after 7 o'clock, so we're out of here a little early. But the Indianapolis Colts, they found themselves a coach. Josh McDaniel was the original choice. We waited around for a couple weeks. He decided he didn't want to leave town. So, okay. Colts had to move on from there, and they quickly found a former Indianapolis Colts assistant coach, Frank Reich, well known for two of the biggest comebacks in both college and pro football as a quarterback playing behind great quarterbacks, but has turned himself into an offensive coordinator, and he was the offensive coordinator of the Super Bowl winning Philadelphia Eagles. So, you get a guy who's coming off a hot streak because he just turned Carson Wentz and Nick Foles into arguably the MVP of the first half of the NFL season and then the Super Bowl winning quarterback all on the same team. So he did something right all year long with these guys and the play calling. And I know Doug Peterson was a huge part of that.
Yeah.
But he's certainly, you know, pretty key to that entire situation. My concern is that you got a guy that's doesn't have this level of responsibility for a team. But what you've also seen is a lot of guys make their names in the last several years in the NFL that were guys that didn't have that level of responsibility with their team. Doug Peterson's a perfect example of that. Hadn't been a head coach yet. And
Mike
now
Zimmer
he's,
in Minnesota.
Yeah, now he's a Super Bowl champion. Dan Quinn with Atlanta has had a couple great seasons. I mean, there's been some really good guys you haven't heard of. Sean McVay is the coach of the year of this year for the Rams.
But you know what that means? Nothing, because it doesn't translate into anything except what you have on your football team and your football field. And that's where Colts fans can be skeptical, because if Frank Reich was such a great coach and everything else, they would have hired him before they hired Josh McDaniels, yeah. And they didn't. So here's what I know about coaching searches. We don't know anything, because a year ago, Nate McMillan replaced Frank Vogel or whatever that was, and everybody went ape. Oh, my God, yeah. Vogel's great. How do you get him out of here? He's this, he's that, he's everything else. Pacers stink last year with Paul George. You know the whole story. Mm-hmm. And now all of a sudden they're 32-25, and they're great. They're 6 in the East. Victor Oladipo's playing like an MVP. DeMontis Sabonis is awesome, and then they don't want to break the team up because everything's working well. So raise your hand if you saw that coming. Yeah, and then keep it up if you're lying. Right. So take a deep breath. It is what it is. Here's the Colts' issue. Plural.
Yeah,
the good news is they have a head coach in place.
Yes.
The great news is he has worked with Ursay before, and it's a known quantity. He was an intern. He was a quality control guy with Peyton Manning. He was mm-hmm. a wide receivers coach, so he knows the Colts' quote-unquote way. This isn't something he has to be changed or brought up to speed to, how to work with Jim Irsay or how any of that goes. That's a known quantity. He has a general manager who is in year number two in Chris Ballard. He has $85 million of unused salary cap space. Mm-hmm. The Colts are tremendously interesting, and I haven't even brought up their quarterback yet. Who knows where Andrew Luck is in all of this?
Yeah.
Who knows what that part of the story is? If Jacoby Brissett is the quarterback next year, I don't think getting on Frank Reich's case about that is going to do you any good. I'm not sure that's going to help. But what I do know is Nick Foles, Carson Wentz, whatever, looks like he has gotten through to them. Obviously, he had spent some time as well with Philip Rivers in San Diego, a guy that you can't argue with his numbers. You can't argue with what Philip Rivers has done over his career. You mm-hmm. can't. So he gets through to some people. But I don't think the head coach position is going to be like McVay from the Rams. That doesn't happen very often.
Right.
If it did, everybody would hire the next 31-year-old guy and stick him in charge.
Sure.
So if you're the Colts, you have multiple holes on defense. You have multiple holes on your offensive line. You have multiple holes in your backfield to run the football. You have multiple holes at wide receiver. Other than that, Frank Reich has a full garage of toys to play with. So this is fun and exciting because it's the head coach,
mm-hmm.
but has it solved anything? I don't know. I like you mentioned, Frank Reich's never run a training camp before. He's never been in charge of, do you put two guys up there, one to hike it, one to snap it, versus the two special teams guys over there.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's part of the deal. And
you're
going to
end up with
coach.
Probably a couple young coordinators. So we don't know who the offensive guy is. They hired a defensive guy based on Josh McDaniels' wishes.
Sure.
So he's on board already.
And Ballard said that was his hire anyhow, not McDaniels, well, I thought, when it's all said and done. Whatever the point is.
He's got to say that right now.
The point is, you just went through 6 years of Chuck Pagano, who had never coached anywhere, as being a head coach.
Yeah.
And so you have to be able to embrace the newness. You're going to have to be able to embrace the struggle. Second-year general manager, first-year head coach.
Yeah.
Okay?
And a quarterback who hasn't played in 2 years.
And tell me where he's at. Maybe we'll learn that in the press conference tomorrow. Yeah. You'll hear more about the plan going forward. You'll hear more about the direction. You'll hear more about the philosophy, all that, when he's introduced to the media tomorrow. And that's the exciting. The newness is the exciting part. The bad news is, hey.
You still have the issues.
You put a front porch on your house.
Yeah.
Have you seen your backyard?
Still have issues. Yeah.
Lots of issues.
A lot of work for Chris Ballard to do.
That's exciting. Well, that's why Ballard was brought in. He wasn't brought in to paint the Rolls Royce a different color.
Right.
He was brought in to retool the whole thing, and that's part of the deal. So that's the hope that spring eternal in pro football is, hey, we got a new coach, we've got a new voice at the top, and it's a guy that won the Super Bowl, not the guy that lost it. So there you go.
Lots of things being said. The Josh McDaniels situation, just an opinion. Is it the Colts and Ursa screwing something up, or is this you got in bed with the wrong guy and he hosed you?
His agent dumped him. I would think it's a little bit more him than you. I think he
sounds that way.
If his life's dream is to become Bill Belichick's heir apparent in New England, well, God bless him. And that's going to be
his agent was Chris Ballard's agent also, so he selected Chris Ballard to stick with and Josh McDaniels not to. So I think that says an awful lot. You're exactly right.
I think that's a huge part of it. And the other part is, I don't know if McDaniels was the right guy to start with.
Sure.
And we're never going to know the answer to that.
And that's okay now.
And part of me is kind of glad that you're not going to have to deal with that,
right, that
situation.
Circus.
But you know what? It is a circus, Dave.
Well, it is.
You know, Marlon Mack's your tailback.
It's been a circus up there for a little while now.
It's been a big circus.
One constant. So it's a little of both, we'll say that. But,
it is.
But it's the agent thing.
And understanding.
Exactly right. Hey, folks, don't go anywhere. We are out of here early, but that means we're turning it over to college basketball. Notre Dame is at North Carolina. Tip-off just after 7, but we'll have pregame here in just a moment. So don't go anywhere, and we will be back Wednesday. So tune in then. You're in the zone.